Well, this morning we continue our worship series called Tempted, Stories of Sin and Grace. And if you've been with us the past few weeks, you'll recall that we've talked about these different temptations, like the temptation to hold on, to keep bearing a grudge from the past, or the temptation to check out, to just kind of get indifferent and give up. And today we're talking about the temptation to fly solo, as we look at this parable Jesus tells about a rich fool. But before we talk about this story, let's pause and once again prepare our hearts through prayer. God, thank you for this season of Lent, as uncomfortable as it is sometimes. Thank you for purifying us and for refining us in the flame of your Holy Spirit. Grant us grace to follow you more faithfully every day. Amen. Well, in the neighborhood where I used to live, every once in a while we would get a knock on our door from someone who needed help. Maybe they needed help with a meal or some groceries or some money for an asthma inhaler. And there was this one guy who was really slender. It made us wonder if he was getting enough nutrition, but he would come by every now and again for this kind of help. And I can still picture his face through the window pane of the front door. So he came by every now and again, but eventually the neighbors weren't sure whether we should keep offering help. And finally, one of my housemates told him, you know, we're not going to be able to keep giving you handouts. This just isn't sustainable. But if you want to talk about how to handle money, she said, so you don't have to ask for help each month, I'm happy to sit down with you and go over a budget. I'm happy to talk with you about saving and planning ahead. When I heard that she had said that, I thought, wow, it's really smart, a budget. Maybe I should try one of those sometime. No, but in all honesty, I thought, yeah, that is a more sustainable way for this guy to have enough for what he needs. She could teach him how to budget. She could teach him how to save, how to plan ahead. That's what responsible people do, right? They think about what they're going to need for the future, and they save up for it. They're not living from day to day asking people for help. They've learned how to take care of themselves. So I don't understand why God gets so bent out of shape at the rich farmer in today's story, because that's all he was doing, right? He's being responsible. Here's a man whose land has produced all these extra crops, so he decides he's gonna budget. He says, all right, I've got all this extra food, I've got all these extra resources, what should I do? I'm gonna open a savings account. He says, I'm gonna pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Yes, then I'll know I'll be taken care of in the future. And that kind of forward thinking is really, it's how you have peace, right? That's how you have peace, because it's pretty hard for you to relax unless you've planned ahead. Relax, eat, drink, be merry, this man says to himself. You have ample goods laid up for many years. Perhaps now is a good time to remind you that there will be an estate planning session held here at Pinehurst UMC. It sounds like this man is getting his affairs in order, and maybe he's ready to retire. And isn't that a good thing? Isn't it just good sense to try to take care of yourself? I'm not sure that I can blame this rich farmer for trying to play it safe. The cost of being able to retire is no joke. A friend of mine is 94 years old, and she lives up in Durham in this beautiful retirement village. And she's able to live there because she planned ahead. She didn't know she was going to live into her ninth decade. But by golly, she worked enough and saved enough and planned enough that she'd be okay. At her retirement community, she's still in the independent living side. And in the independent living side, there is a 2 to 4 year wait list. And many people put their names on that wait list a full 10 years before they expect to need to move there, although how you could predict that, I have no idea. But for you to be accepted, the retirement village wants to know, are your assets going to outlast your lifetime? Are your assets going to outlast your lifetime? Again, how you could predict that, no idea. Some people live a really long time. But this place will only take you if there is a 20% chance or less that you will run out of money before you die. For a 2-bedroom apartment on the independent living side, my friend pays a monthly rent of $3,116, not to mention the entry fee of $170,820. That's a lot of grain and a lot of goods. My friend would need a pretty big barn to store up all her crops if she hoped to live in that place and do like the rich farmer did, relax, eat, drink, be merry. At a place like that, you're going to need a pretty big barn. Because what about all those other things you might need? What about long-term care insurance? And what about the cost of skilled nursing? If my friend ends up needing skilled nursing, $330 a day, which amounts to $10,000 a month. So, who can blame the rich farmer for wanting to be cautious? I will do this, he said. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Maybe you can relate to him, how he wants to make sure he has enough resources. There's a fear behind that. There's a fear behind wanting to take care of ourselves. And I don't think it's the fear of not having enough. I think it's the fear of having to rely on others. Who wants to be that person who goes from house to house, porch to porch, asking people for help with a meal or some groceries or some money for an asthma inhaler? Who wants to move from the independent living side of the retirement village? Now, I'm happy to pray for you, but is there anything you can pray for about me? No, thanks. No, I'm good. I mean, at the most, I might ask for prayer on behalf of a family member or someone I know, but for me, myself, no. And I'm happy to visit you in the hospital, but do I want anyone seeing me after I've just had surgery? No, thanks. I'm good. Do you need help carrying that? Nope, I've got it. I've got my crops. I've got my barns. I can take care of myself. But God has something to say about this. God has something to say to this rich man who's being so cautious. At the end of the story, Jesus tells, there's that part where God actually speaks directly to the rich farmer. And God doesn't say he's sensible. God doesn't say he's good with money. God doesn't say he's blessed. God calls him a fool. God says, you fool, this very night, your life is being demanded of you, not a decade from now, not 4 decades from now, but this very night, your life is being demanded of you. And these things you've prepared, whose will they be? Right there, that is the most important word in this whole story to me. Not the word fool, but the word whose? and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Whose will they be? In other words, who's in your life? You who were so busy preparing all your things, now whose will they be? Who will get all those things? God is calling this man to account, not for his many possessions, but for his relationships. Does he even have any? Or has he been being so busy, self-reliant, that all he has is himself? God's essentially asking this farmer, who else is in his life? And I'm afraid he's not going to have an answer. But here's the good news. We don't have to live like fools. We don't have to live like that. In Christian community, we learn we don't have to live like that. We are made for relationship, not resources. We're made for connection, not crops. We're made not to fly solo. We're made for faith together. And sure, yeah, it's good to save up for the future. But if my friend in the fancy retirement village has no friends there with her, then what's the point? If she's keeping to herself and taking care of herself, then she's not rich at all. And sure, my housemate had her heart in the right place when she thought that she would teach the man who came to our door about budgeting. But if she's trying to teach him how not to need anyone else, then that's missing the point. If she's trying to teach him how not to rely on anyone else, then she's the fool. Because relationship is where you're truly rich. Relationship, which is going to mean opening up and asking for help, relying on others, shedding layers, being vulnerable, all really uncomfortable things. It's much more comfortable to silo ourselves with enough crops that we know we'll be taken care of. But life within the body of Christ offers a much better way. I want to close by sharing a testimony with you from one of our brothers in Christ here in this community. He has experienced firsthand the difference between trying to fly solo and trying to rely on others, learning that God's grace comes to us through relationships. And I chose him specifically because I thought, well, here's a guy who looks like he's got it all together, got his act together, and can take care of himself. But let's listen to what God is teaching him.
Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Jonathan Brooks, and a member here at Pinehurst United Methodist. I wish I could have been here this morning to hear Sarah's sermon firsthand, but at least technology has allowed me to share with you my own personal testimony to her message. My relationship with Jesus Christ has grown exponentially over the past 8 months. Prior to that, I attended church regularly, tried to be the best person I could be, and that was about it. I'm in the middle of my career. I have a beautiful wife, 2 outstanding boys, but with any career and any family, there are struggles. And as a man, it is my duty and responsibility to fix every problem that comes my way, on my own, right? Wrong. But that's how I approach life. About 8 months ago, 2 of my church brothers, Mike Edwards and Thomas McDowell, invited me to an early morning workout with a group of men in the area. The group is F3. It was founded in Charlotte, but has expanded to many parts of the country. F3 stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. It's a Christian-based organization that cultivates men into being leaders in their homes, their churches, and their communities. We meet 5 or 6 times a week to work out and pray together, and a couple of other times a week we fit in a Bible study into the routine. Being surrounded by a group of men of this caliber has shown me that through a relationship with Christ and relationships with those around me, that I don't have to go it alone. I can't do it alone. Overcoming life's challenges is more than any one of us can handle by ourselves. Admittedly, there is a sense of vulnerability that I'm not completely comfortable with by handing my life over and its challenges to God and sharing and opening up with my Christian brothers. I have a sense of vulnerability creeping in right now sharing these thoughts with you. But I see it happen within this group every day, and I see the way these guys pick each other up when life smacks them in the face, and how they reinforce the importance of a relationship with God. And I find that when I do let go, and I lean on God, and lean on those around me, there is such a sense of freedom and peace and calm that's difficult to describe. It wasn't too long ago that I saw my number one priority as being a financial provider of my family. As long as I had a successful career and provided for my family, we would be okay, and I would be okay, and I would be a fool to continue to walk that path, much like the rich man in the scripture lesson. Today, I'm becoming richer towards God. Through my daily walk with Him and through my relationship I'm building with the church, F3, and beyond. Thank you for allowing me to share time with you today.
There's a man who's becoming richer toward God. And it has nothing to do with resources. It has everything to do with relying on others. And I grant you that it's much easier to make sure that you have everything you need and you can provide for yourself. But what are we missing out on? And the things we've prepared, whose will they be? God grant us the relationships that make us truly rich. Amen.